KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
And there you have it. The Board of Regents and the University of California, Irvine does not say what we think is okay, but that's okay because we're here today talking to you live from KUCI. And you're listening to Get Notified here on KUCI. If you do not follow KUCI on Twitter, or you do not show them love on Facebook or Instagram, now is the time to do so. If your week has been unproductive, this is a very easy way for you to have a productive week because you will get these things done. Go to Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, find out how and follow them at KUCIFM. On Instagram, it happens to be the exact same thing, KUCIFM, and then search on Facebook and find us there as well. You can find me. This is your Ginger MC for the day, and I am at Ryan Foland. Instagram, Ryan.Foland. Yes, because someone else stole the name before I had a chance to get it. And I'm very excited today because we have a very special guest who is not only the Dean of the Division of Undergraduate Education, but he's in fact the Vice Provost of the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning. He is a celebrity when it comes to TV shows. You might have seen him on Ancient Aliens or some sort of history channel. He is a bubble expert. Yes, I repeat, of all of his accolades, he is a bubble expert. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Denham. Give him a round of applause. Everybody here.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you doing this morning,
Scott? I am doing great. I'm awake. That's a good thing.
This is a good thing. Well, I appreciate it that you got here nice and early. And today we're going to have fun because we're going to talk about a lot of different things. And I know that you are new to the social media world, which is really exciting. And I've had a good time getting you up to speed and getting myself up to speed with experts like Angie here in studio. And then we've got Mr. Matt over here in studio. And then we've got Aaron in the back in studio, who's going to be our live tweeter. And I want everyone first to understand maybe what they've never heard of, which is this OVPTL. And
right.
You like to pronounce the acronym, don't you?
Well, as the Vice Provost for Teaching and Learning, Dean of Division of Undergraduate Education, it turns out to be that I'm the VIPTLDU.
The VIPTLDU.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce the VIPTLDU.
it's really exciting because it's not often at a university you get to be the first person in charge of a brand new office, which is what I get to do. So the Office of the Vice Provost for Teaching and Learning is something that our Chancellor, Howard Gilman, actually envisioned when he was still provost. It's a very, very exciting idea, which is to just raise the level, quality, and visibility of our commitment to our undergraduates, our graduate students, in the area of teaching, learning, and education at all levels, and to integrate that experience across many different dimensions.
And it's part of the new strategic plan, right? I mean, it's one of the pillars.
Definitely. So the student success, the student experience, elevating that experience, being first in class is how we've been phrasing it, is one of those key four pillars that we have.
So the Office of the Vice Provost for Teaching and Learning. Now, underneath that huge umbrella, talk to us about these different chunks underneath. And by the way, if you are a UCI fan, you will know that we love our acronyms. So,
right.
So, VIPTLDU, DU, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So, what's nice about the office, it's actually pretty straightforward at the end of the day. We have three divisions. We have our Division of Undergraduate Education. That's what I consider everything serving students and facing the students. We have our Division of Teaching and Learning, DTL. That's our service to faculty, instructors, grad students as instructors. And then we have our Division of Summer Session, which serves our students and the whole community in the summer. And then the three of those interact with each other because, of course, you can't teach unless you have students to teach. And typically at a university, students don't get very far without faculty to teach them.
This is very logical. I like that UCI is so logical. Now, we've got Angie here in studio. Angie, get the mic over there. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So I just want to pop quiz you real quick. Before coming on as one of the coordinators for the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning, and you're a junior here at UCI, had you ever heard of the DUE before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So we have our job cut out for us.
We do.
And I think that that's one of the things that we want to talk today about is what is it that we want to communicate to the world about it, and why is that not happening, and how can we fix that? And social media is a tool that we're trying to use to do that. Now, definitely, for all of you out there, social media is a tool. It is not a success instant button. And I have a lot of people who think it takes them a while to get to the point. They're like, okay, I get it. I want to be on social media because everybody else seems to be doing it, or other schools are utilizing it, and I just want to be on it. You're not just on social media. You have to use it like a tool. It's a toolbox, and it's a matter of, you know, if you have a wrench and you need a hammer. Actually, that's not a good example because I've used a wrench as a hammer quite a few times. But if you've got an Allen wrench and you need a screwdriver, it's definitely different. But you got to have the assortment of tools. Now, for the DUE and the OVPTL, it's exciting because now we're online for the first time.
Right.
And pop quiz for you, how do we find the OVPTL online? Where are we?
We're at ovptl.uci.edu as our website.
Yep.
We're also... I believe we're on Twitter, though. People should really be following me at Den and Michael.
Yeah, good. I was waiting for you to give me a shameless plug.
Exactly. And also, it's Prof Den and Michael on Facebook.
Okay.
Just to, you know, confuse people, there's the prof in there to keep it different. We are also at OVPTL,
yes.
I believe.
Yes. Yes, we are.
I had that right.
Yep, that's our Instagram. And then because so many people search, say, UCI on Twitter, we're UCI OVPTL.
Yeah. And then, as I've been trained to do, almost all my tweets have hashtag UCIDUE in them.
Yeah.
So you can search on the hashtag and find them.
All right. Now, we have this thing on the show that I call GTO, and it's a grandma timeout.
Okay.
So GTO hashtag. Explain this like you're going to your grandma here.
I think my grandma would explain it to me, but... But as I understand it, the hashtag is just a great way to search across all social media. By using that hashtag in front of whatever you want to do, people know that they can search on hashtags, find them across Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and anywhere out there in the ether.
Now, if you have or haven't heard Michael Denon in one of his Stump Me scenes with the whole... I mean, he literally... We'll have so much fun because if you are a Star Wars fan, I'm going to encourage you maybe to call in a little bit. But basically, you give him anything that has to do with anything in Star Wars, and he has a physics explanation for it.
I go even broader. I do any superhero, any, you know, science fiction event.
Matt, are you a superhero fan back there?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Do you think you could stump the professor here? Is there anything that you've always wanted to know, like maybe about Flash Gordon or about, you know, how somebody can hear all the voices in their head or why that girl is blue on the X-Men or something like that?
Nothing really comes to mind, but since you brought up Flash Gordon, how is he able to run this fast?
So Flash, running super fast, actually has a couple of pieces to him. One thing that is interesting is it takes a lot of energy, obviously, to keep going that fast. So getting up to high speeds, you know, that is something that can just take time. If you have a steady acceleration, you keep going, but it takes a lot of energy. And when we talk about the Flash, we like to talk about our second law of thermodynamics, which most people don't remember, but that's okay. It basically tells you any time you take energy from one state to another, you generate heat. So Flash has to take his food and turn it from chemical energy into his running really fast, so he has to generate heat. So the biggest problem for Flash as a person who runs fast is that he would burn up and burst into flames from all the heat. And so you see in the comics, you see in the movies, you see in the TV shows, a lot of attempts to justify why he doesn't overheat. Either he wears a special suit, or his skin is special, or something happens to him to overcome the heat. He doesn't carry around very large fans that blow the heat off like our computers do.
Wow. I learned a little bit right there. Maybe you could explain to me why students get the freshman 15.
Yes.
What is the physics going on there?
That's more biology. Oh. It's economics. It's all the free food.
Economics, free food. You know what? There is an answer for everything. And if Mr. Denon doesn't know, maybe Google can back him up.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about these divisions within the department of, or the divisions. Now, what is the right terminology? Because there's units, there's departments, there's divisions.
Right. So we decided naming is hard. I've learned that when you become a vice provost, your number one job is to name things. and so we basically looked at the three big largest groupings, and those are our divisions: Division of Undergraduate Education, Division of Teaching and Learning, Division Summer Session, and that's based around kind of their overall major mission. Now, within the division, say, of undergraduate education, we have lots of different units and programs. And one of the things that we're moving to, because they are interacting more and a lot of the student experience crosses boundaries, that's why we're trying to highlight the division as a whole and then the office as a whole, because that shows the connections between the teaching and learning piece, you know, of the Division of Teaching and Learning and the undergraduate experience. A lot of people are familiar, for instance, with our programs. They don't just realize, they just don't realize they're part of the Division of Undergraduate Education. So they may have done study abroad. They may have done undergraduate research through Europe. They may be a student in the honors program, the campus-wide honors program, which confused me for years when I got here because its acronym is CHP. And I always wondered why the police were coming to campus.
Right.
But so you have these different then programs and units underneath the different divisions.
Now, people are familiar with the units and programs, and we want them to understand that this is all under the umbrella of the division,
right?
Which is all under the umbrella of the office.
Exactly.
Now, how many? Do you know how many different offices of the vice provost there are?
How many different vice provosts there are?
Yeah.
You know, I always lose track. There's probably five or six of us.
Okay. So you're pretty big time here on campus.
Yeah.
And that means you basically directly report to the chancellor.
Well, to the provost.
To the provost,
yeah.
Okay. And then the provost goes up to the chancellor. So there's no bureaucracy that goes on at UCI or any higher education.
No.
No.
None at all.
Good. Just
we're
one.
Very slim. Actually, you know, when you think about how big we are and how large our budget is, I mean, I know people talk about the bureaucracy, but it's surprisingly nimble.
Nice.
For a large organization.
Well, what's not nimble is the microphone that you're using right now. So, Angie, can we do a swap between the microphones there? Hashtag mic swap. This is like a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah, well, look at that. Good. Okay, yeah, push that one up now. And then that one can come up. Okay, try that one.
Okay, is this better?
I think that is a little bit better.
Okay.
Now, if you are just joining us and you're on the freeway and you're frustrated, don't spill your coffee, but we have a rock star here with us. This is Mr. Michael Denon. Follow him online at
Denon
Michael or on Facebook, Prof.
Michael Denon.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Prof. Michael Denon. I just realized I said Denon Michael before, but I think it's Prof. Michael Denon.
So for all of you,
easy
that
to find.
For all of you that are still frustrated because you're trying to find Prof. Denon Michael,
look for Prof. Michael Denon. But there's only one of me in either order, so it's easy to find.
Right, right. Now, let's go to this whole social media topic. Now, let's say 6 months ago, were you online?
Yes and no. I mean, I've had my Twitter account since I did the Walking Dead MOOC.
Okay.
So that was probably...
did you say Walking Dead MOOC?
I did say Walking Dead MOOC, and
GTO
I should explain what a MOOC is.
GTO MOOC.
So a MOOC is a massive open online course. These are courses that they've started a few years ago, and the idea is they're free. They're online. They're open to anyone. There's not necessarily a professor there all the time, but you have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of other people taking it at the exact same time who can help you and you interact with and you do stuff. We had a great partnership with AMC and The Walking Dead. There was four faculty, and we did a whole course on The Walking Dead. It was a lot of fun.
What are some of the lessons learned from The Walking Dead?
Well, we'd like to point out, so we were a person from public health, a person basically from social science psychology, mathematician, and a physicist. And we decided in the end, I think the mathematician was right, and Sarah Eichhorn's now our associate vice provost for teaching and learning, that the mathematician would probably survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
The problem with the sociologist, she would go out and want to study their dynamics and their social structure and be turned into a zombie very quickly. The public health person would try and take their temperature, save them, do stuff, also dead fairly quickly. She did give me, the physicist, a long time. I'd hole up in my lab, have a lot of stuff to make cool weapons, and fight it out for a long time. The mathematician, being totally antisocial, not wanting to talk to anyone, wouldn't even know the zombie apocalypse was going on, would be locked in their office and perfectly safe. So that was one lesson.
You hear that, mathematical majors? You are safest in a zombie apocalypse.
But it was cool. We got to see this interplay. How would you apply the social interaction, social theory, to what was going on to a group very much under stress? We got to talk about public health because zombieism was basically treated like a disease in the show. And then how would you mathematically model this? How would you study it? And I got to have the fun piece, the weapons, the physics of weapons and zombie destruction.
Wow. I like that. That sounds like a fun job.
It was a fun job. But they decided to have a Twitter day.
Okay.
So there was an hour or two where we all sat around on our Twitter accounts that they made for us and tweeted. and so for about 2 years until I got into other stuff, the only tweets I had were about zombies.
Okay. Well, you know, you got to start somewhere.
You do.
Even if it's starting with The Walking Dead. And that's a lesson out there for everybody. Sometimes all you need is an excuse. And so whether it's studying weaponry for zombie apocalypse elimination, or whether it's for just accidentally stumbling onto it or finding a link online, there are so many different platforms out there. The only way to start is to actually start.
Yes.
Now, from a tweeting perspective, you're getting good.
Well, thank you.
You are definitely getting good. And are you enjoying it, more importantly?
Oh, I do. I really have fun with it. And I think, you know, the students, like lately, this summer, we have our SPOPs, our student orientation. And one of the things we've discussed is the idea of, you know, either I could do a picture of the audience and then tweet that. But I've really gotten into have the audience taking out their phones and taking pictures of me doing a zot, 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 and having them post that on Instagram, tweet it, do whatever they want with it. Now, I don't know how many students are actually posting it, but a lot of them are taking the picture.
Nice. And Angie might chirp in. They might be saying that they're taking a picture and they might actually be snapping you, which we talked about the other day.
Right.
Angie, tell us about Snapchat, and maybe not in terms of how they got ripped off by Instagram, because maybe we'll talk about that. Actually, Dean, Denon, did you know about Instagram's new story feature?
I've heard about that, and I've heard about people complain about it.
It's an interesting riff, because you had Snapchat that came up with this somewhat their angle, which is posts that are ephemeral, they last for 24 hours, you don't have to be too serious, you've got filters, and it all creates into the story. And they had amazing usage, crazy popularity. I mean, they're everywhere. I'm in the airport, and the little dish trays that you put your stuff through the luggage, it's got the Snapchat ghost on it. And then all of a sudden, Instagram came and pretty much stole all of the key components. And so, Angie, talk to us about, because you're an addicted Snapchatter, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Self-admittedly, and that's fine. We're working through it. Are you on Twitter?
Yes.
You are on Twitter. Okay, so there we go. We got one for one. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the psyche of a student right now in this dilemma between Snapchat and Instagram. What is going on in the streets?
A lot of people are rebelling.
Rebelling? How do you rebel? As in, like, they're, like, canceling their Instagram accounts?
No, on Instagram, they post a picture and, you know how you could, like, write on
it? Yeah.
They write their Snapchat name.
Oh, so they're using the Instagram stories to bring people back to their Snapchat.
Exactly.
Now, are there any key differences between this new Instagram stories and Snapchat?
Instagram's lacking the face filters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And do you know about the face filters?
No, I do not. I think I do, but I'm not sure about it.
You might have seen it, but it's if you have Snapchat or if you're curious about Snapchat, one of the fun features is that you have a self-facing camera and you hold the button down over your face and it creates this almost like weird looking digital avatar real quick, and it like realizes where your eyes and your nose and your mouth is, and then you can slip different filters and you can like get a dog nose and dog ears.
Gotcha.
Or you get the halo on it, or like you have a, you're all of a sudden underwater and you open your mouth and bubbles come out. It's crazy, but it's fun, right?
It's really fun.
And is that why students are on Snapchat, is because it's fun?
Yeah, it's really fun. It's funny. It's entertaining.
So fun, funny, and entertaining. See, I'm trying to get into the psyche of the student here to figure out what it is that drives them onto social media. So let's say, Angie, you go back in time. You're a freshman. It's freshman orientation. And you see this charismatic dean up on stage going, yeah, take a picture of me. Zot, zot, zot. What are some options for students to engage? What would be fun for them?
I would definitely Snapchat.
Definitely Snapchat.
And use a UCI filter.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know there was a UCI filter.
Yes.
So I need to get on Snapchat is what you're saying.
Maybe, maybe not. But here's the thing is that you can, one of the biggest challenges with social media right now is the different platforms. But what you can have people do is you can say, hey, if you're a Snapchatter, go ahead and snap me. But then they can download that video snap and they can upload it to Instagram. Well, maybe they're not going to do that anymore. Sorry. Right? But there's no conflict with Twitter right now. Twitter and Snapchat are cool, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they can take the snap and they can download it, and then they can actually tweet it out as an actual file, like a video on Twitter. And that's like a nice integrate. Do you think Dean Dennis should be on Snapchat?
I believe so, yeah.
You believe so?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll have to work on that then.
So how does Dean Denon use Snapchat then? What would be interesting from a student's perspective to see?
Maybe like a Snapchat takeover.
A Snapchat takeover. GTO yeah. Snapchat takeover.
So UCI has like an overall Snapchat. Maybe okay. you could go on there and say, oh, I'm taking over Snapchat, and it'd be really cool to see.
Now, okay, so a Snapchat takeover. This is going to be easier than you having your own Snapchat, by the
okay.
way. Because with Snapchat, people have to actually find you or follow you or look at your story, because you can right. have an amazing story, but nobody's going to watch you. So maybe we talk with Strategic Communications and we have the dean. Is it hijacking or is it stealing? What's the right term?
Hijacking.
Yeah. So we do a Snapchat hijack. That's good, right? That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron's tweeting over there. Dean Denon, watch out for Dean Denon's hashtag Snapchat hijack.
Okay.
Okay. And then what we'll do is, does he actually have to have that phone, or can he just log into Snapchat with their credentials?
With their credentials, yeah.
Okay. So you can use your phone, and we'll log in with their credentials, and then literally maybe he steals it for a day or during orientation.
Yeah.
And with Snapchat, you only get 10-second videos.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of pressure. And I mean, really,
yeah, so that makes it easy.
A lot can go wrong. I mean, a lot can happen, and I mean, it's really easy within 10 seconds, right?
No, that's true.
And then basically, you have how many people you think follow the UCI Snapchat? Is there a way to find out or know that? They would know, right?
Yeah, they would know how many views they get.
So they're going to get hundreds of thousands of views, hopefully. And you could be like, hey, Snapchat takeover. I've hijacked the Snapchat. And then you get everybody in the crowd that's going to go crazy because people like to have their few seconds of fame.
True.
I like this. See this? We have a new Snapchat hijack.
Sounds fun.
And that's easier than your own Snapchat, because Snapchat is a lot of work, because every 24 hours you basically have to post something, otherwise you're invisible, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that is tiring.
It is tiring. And it kind of seems like Snapchat is a behind the scenes, right? Or you see something funny and it's just kind of you just sort of snap it and share it. It's really a look into the life. So it can be a day in the life of the dean. And would it be better to have somebody with Dean Denon to sort of capture it, or is Snapchat really, you've got to be doing it yourself?
I think either or, but if you want to go more towards the hijack, you kind of have to be doing okay. the selfie thing.
Here we go.
Okay.
So what she's saying is that she will be there by your side while you hijack the Snapchat.
I'll give you advice.
Yeah. Sounds good.
We'll do a little, you know, we'll talk about it and then go and snap it.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, look at this. I've learned a lot. Snapchat, say Snapchat hijack three times fast. Ready, go.
Snapchat hijack, Snapchat hijack, Snapchat hijack.
Shoot.
Yeah, she better. Was good.
She was good. Well, she came up with it, so that's why she's so good at it. Okay, from back to Twitter.
Right.
You're using it. The students maybe are on it. Angie, where is everybody? Is it just that they're on Snapchat? Or are they also on Instagram and they're also on Twitter? Or is it kind of a mix as you get older through the ranks?
I think it's kind of a mix, but Snapchat's definitely gaining more followers since it's kind of the newer out of everything. And then Facebook for students is kind of dwindling down.
Okay, Facebook for students is dwindling down, really.
Is that just too static or just...
I feel like people use it for more professional things, even students. Like, I go on there to look at more school-related things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the students aren't necessarily using it to connect with each other. They're connecting maybe through Snapchat.
Yeah,
right?
And Twitter. And
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
But then they're still utilizing Facebook as sort of a research and discovery for programs on campus.
Yeah.
So if you go to the OVPTL website and you scroll down, you see the social media, and one's Instagram, one's Facebook, and one is Twitter, which one are you going to hit first?
That's when I would choose Facebook.
That's when you choose Facebook.
Okay.
So for all the departments and all the units and all the programs out there, this is an interesting picture, because they're probably going to go... Would you go to the website first, though?
Website first, yeah.
Okay. So there's the importance of having the website, and there's the importance of having the social media on your website. That seems to maybe be the second degree of investigation. And know that they are checking out the Facebook. Now, what are the kind of things that you're looking for on Facebook?
I would see events coming up about me... Pictures, all of that.
Okay, so events, that's a big one. Now,
right.
you can use Facebook events. For all of you DUE units out there who are listening, think about the concept of putting your events onto Facebook.
And now, as a student, when you're doing that, will you be following or liking? I always forget the right word for Facebook, so that the events are showing up right away, or do you have to actually actively go check their Facebook site to find the events?
I would like them if I was really serious about their events, but if I wasn't, then I wouldn't.
You would just check it periodically.
I would just check it, yeah.
What about the whole I'm interested in going? Because I've seen that. So if there's an event, you can click I'm interested in going, which sort of broadcasts to your friends that that might be something you're doing.
Yeah. Events are really big on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because you see what everybody else is interested in.
Oh, so it's a particular thing you can do on Facebook, a type of post in a sense, is an event.
It is an event, right? So
okay.
GTO Facebook event. You literally say, I'm having an event. You can have a picture. You can have multiple pictures. You can probably even put in a video about it. Let's say you make a little promo video, which you can do on your iPad or your phone. You have the description. And it acts, I believe, almost like an Eventbrite, right?
Yeah.
But if you say, I'm interested in going, then in the little notifications of all your friends, it'll say, hey, Angie's interested in going to this. So
that's a button you can pick. I'm interested in going, like liking.
I think it's a star, right?
Yeah, it's a star.
It's a star. So you hit the star, and then that says, I'm thinking about going. And then there's a whole comment thread about thinking about going.
Awesome.
So when you're posting an event out there, and this is something that, now, if you don't know, I am the Senior Administrator of Social Media and Marketing for the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning.
As you can see, we like to make long titles in our office.
You know what? We should figure out what that is from an acronym standpoint.
Yeah.
Aaron, will you figure out what the acronym is for Senior Administrator? We can do this together. Senior Administrator. Sure. Hold on. I need to have my notes here. So Senior Administrator of... Do we do the ofs or not?
Only if we need them.
Okay. So we'll do an optional for an O. Senior Administrator of Social Media, and then we'll do an option for the A. Marketing for the office.
Yeah.
For the office... of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning. Okay, I am the Sacco Summa Filia Popatulio.
Sounds great.
One of the first things...
We may have to work on that acronym.
One of the first things I did into this job, I was like, can I change my title? And Jennifer was like, nope. And I said, okay, I am the Sacco Saya Bita Patel. It's fun to make fun of UCI. And again, we're not hating on you. We are just saying, we're just poking fun.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's about having fun, and it's about engaging, and it's about keeping things entertaining. And sometimes at the school, at a university, it can be too stale. So we've got a Snapchat hijack.
Not at a place where the anteater is your mascot.
You know what? This is very true. I mean, really?
Now, yeah.
Do you know the history behind that?
Now you're putting me on the spot. I know the students voted for it, and I know they rejected the three choices that were given by the chancellor at the time.
Yeah. Angie, do you know that story?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, I believe that I have a better idea than both of you, but I still might not be right.
Right.
So there was three on the ballot, almost like 4 or 5 years after the school started.
Right. It was really early in the school history. Yeah.
And it was like a bison. It was, I think, a bald eagle. And then I want to say a unicorn or something like that.
There was something kind of mythical.
Yeah, mythical, right? And at the time, the men's water polo team was huge. Like, it was huge, huge. And that was like a big deal. Go team. And they actually, I think, were in the finals for the whole championships. And this was a big prideful thing. But there wasn't a mascot at the time. And that's where this vote was going on. It happened to be that the water polo team were a bit of jokers, and they literally said, look, we don't like the bison, the eagle, or this mythical creature. We want something that's just kind of funny and dumb and random, and they chose an anteater. Then they went on this crazy campaign, and they went on an anteater write-in campaign to let everybody know when the vote comes out, they want anteater in there. Then they won the championships, I think, the day before or on the same day as the voting, and they used all of that publicity to say, forget about the championships, vote for the anteater. And it was this huge upheaval, and that's how it, I think, got voted in.
And a great mascot to this day.
Yes, Peter T. Anteater on Twitter.
Yes.
He's actually very active on Twitter, and he's funny. I wonder if he has a Snapchat.
I wonder.
Yeah. Would you follow Peter's Snapchat?
I would, yeah.
Now, what if Peter did a Snapchat hijack with Dean Denon?
That'd be hilarious.
That would be great.
Yeah. That would be great. So maybe we should talk to Peter and see if Peter and you can do a Snapchat hijack.
Together.
Together, and we can promote it. Because Peter doesn't talk very much.
Right.
Now, let's take a little bit of a sidestep to one of the things that is really fun that you do, which is this fantasy fights. Fantastic
right.
fights.
It's Fascinating Fights is the technical name. We have two seasons on YouTube. The episode just yesterday was released. I haven't tweeted it yet, so you get to hear it here first. Was Popeye the Sailor Man versus Bane, Venom, the villain from Batman.
Did Popeye have the accessibility to spinach?
Oh, yes. Yes,
oh, yes, yeah, okay.
Definitely. The real question I raised in it, did this fight take place in under the rules of cartoon physics or under the rules of normal physics?
Mm.
Because that really changes Popeye's advantages and disadvantages. And we voted on a in-between world, a little bit of cartoon physics, but not complete cartoon
little mesh
physics.
World. Now, for those of you who still are confused, these fascinating fights are taking two characters and pitting them against each other in a UFC
type fight. Well, the battles vary. We often allow them to happen in their world. We had, for instance, Link from the Princess Zelda games
okay.
fighting Mario. From the Mario Brothers. And, you know, there, of course, the challenge is both of them have to have access to their world and their weapons and their and tools. So that wasn't quite a UFC-style fight, but it was still interesting. And I'm the physics expert on the panel, so when possible, I determine the fight based on physics and science.
So what
and
could
other
work
features,
or what wouldn't?
What couldn't work, what you know, where's the physics advantage, if there is any. Sometimes I'm just pure biased, and I go for the scientist in the battle.
Okay.
So like Spider-Man is one of my favorite because Peter Parker is a scientist, so he just wins.
He's got that advantage.
Yeah.
Now, there's a big fight that's coming up, which we can't talk about, what we can get people excited about, and it has to do
right.
with Peter the Anteater and something with horns. Tell us
exactly.
about that.
Well, we are hosting the LA Rams here at UCI right now, and we will have a mascot fight-off and contest on Thursday. I get the pleasure of emceeing it, so it should be a lot of fun to see those two mascots go at it. We already, on Twitter, kind of had the back and forth with the panel that I do with Fascinating Fights of Peter the Anteater and Ant-Man.
Ooh. And
which we started that on Twitter.
Yeah, because you have a coffee hour. You're one of the most accessible deans and vice provosts around, because I don't know the other ones, but he wants to have coffee with everybody. You also are doing a tour of your bubble lab.
We will be doing tours of the bubble lab this summer. We have to get those scheduled for the office. I hold monthly a coffee hour where all of the members of the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning are welcome to stop by, and we chat about pretty much anything.
Yeah, and if you are part of the umbrella of the Office of the Vice Provost in Teaching and Learning, you got to come to these coffee events. They're fun. You actually get to know the dean for the man, the father, the soccer player, the fanatic that he is when it comes to all that stuff. And it's important. Sometimes our leaders are not accessible, or sometimes our leaders are more intimidating than leaders. And I think you've done a really good job in the short amount of time to become a person, personable, especially with this brand new office where everybody's still trying to figure out how
right,
to pronounce
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And so one of the things the students should look for, okay, we did one thing this year, and then I'm going to do something going forward. So what we did this year is we had a whole bunch of special town hall meetings where we took a team of students and we had them interview faculty about what do faculty really expect from students. I don't think the students realize how much faculty care about them, want them to succeed. We often get viewed as the people trying to fail you, which is not true at all. So we've made a video based on those student interviews of the faculty where the students share what they learned about what faculty think about students. So we'll be releasing that this fall. And then I'm going to be holding Ask the Vice Provost a Question. We'll be filming the first one in a week or two, and then we'll be releasing them as short little videos. And we'll be announcing throughout the year different dates where any student can sign up. They can come in and they can get one or two questions. They get 2 to 5 minutes with me. They can ask me whatever they want. Just like this show, we've talked about everything from superheroes to teaching to undergraduate research. They can ask me what it's like to coach soccer, what my hobbies are, what it's like to be on TV, what it's like to be a physicist, what it's like to be a vice provost, you know, what the heck it is we're doing at UCI about this or that, about the mascot, whatever. All topics are open.
Awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can join him for the ATVPAQ. That's ATVPAQ. 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 Hashtag ATVPAQ. To hear the Vip will do talk to you about anything you want.
Yep.
Angie, would you think that's a cool idea? To have students have the ability to ask him anything?
Yeah, I want to see those videos.
Very cool. Now, from let's say we have these videos, okay? Now, the videos are only seen as many times as people see them. So, if you are a representation of, let's say, just some of the student base out there, where would you want to see those videos? Would you want to be emailed the link to the YouTube? Would you want to see UCI give a 10-second Snapchat of the video, like with a URL of where to go? Is it a tweeted out there? Like, how can we deliver these? Because it's exciting to create this this video.
Right.
And you're doing a lot of cool stuff with the UCI Media Services. Ian and Joy, shout out to them, Will and everybody. But like, we've got all these videos. How would you want to find them, or how would you want to see them?
I feel like I like watching videos on Twitter because they're easy, they're fun, and then you could have a link right there to the YouTube if you want to watch the whole thing or more.
So
videos.
Maybe we do small snippets of the video,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Highlights, or ooh, maybe like a highlight reel. Of maybe the students asking the questions, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? This brings up an interesting point about video on Twitter and video in general these days. So many people are watching videos when they shouldn't, and that's okay, right? But not everybody has the volume on. So let's think about this for a second. You know, video's taking over, but at the same time, people are watching more video without sound. And there's this whole movement to having transcriptions, or you'll see kind of the commercials like on Pandora or on your phone that, you know, you shut off, you put them on mute, and then they still kind of catch your eye, and it communicates that way. So it might be interesting to make a little highlight video that actually has the words or the questions, or like a scrolling of the questions, or, you know, key phrases of your answer that pop out to get that eye-catching, because you're not always watching with volume, right?
No, sometimes I'm in class.
No. You know.
Sorry, Dennis.
No, that's okay. Hey, it used to be students would actually just bring newspapers and magazines and read them in class.
Really?
So, so secretly being on your phone watching a video is a lot, you know, less obtrusive.
Actually, this is an interesting point here, and I love how we're just kind of ping-ponging around, but what about technology in the classroom? What is your opinion on that, and how are we dealing with that?
You know, it's a challenge. One of the reasons it's a challenge is faculty and students both have wide views on it, both within those groups. So you do have faculty who really don't want their students on any technology in the classroom, and it's a challenge, right? But then on the other hand, you have the faculty who really recognize, you know, my daughter right now is in high school, and everything she does is on her iPad. I'm note-taking everything. And her older sister's like, well, what's going to happen when she gets to college and she gets the professor who says, well, you can't use technology, and the only thing she's used to taking notes on is her iPad.
Right.
You know, so there are these things we have to be aware of as faculty, that there are very valid and useful uses. A lot of systems, a lot of faculty like to engage, particularly if you're in an intro class with 400 students. We want to engage the students, ask them questions, and have them vote. Now, here at UCI, we use a clicker system in many of our classes, but many universities, you know, and at some point, will trust that everybody has a smart device. Now, right now, you can't count on it. Not everybody does have a smartphone, but anyone who does, you can. There's so many tools out there to get their feedback, to get their impact. You know, you can post a little video out to the class. Like in a physics course, physics is fun because stuff moves, right? And in the past, all we had was static pictures we could draw. But we're getting to the point where I can push out a video live in class to the students, to their phone, laptop, iPad, whatever it is, ask them to do something with it. They can manipulate the video in the software and then answer a question back. And you know what? If they're busy having to do their work on the phone in the middle of class, hate to say it, they're less likely to be watching their Twitter, particularly if, you know, that's key to getting a good grade in the class. And like I said, throughout history, students have been distracted, sleeping, doing other things in class, doodling. I have some very interesting artwork left over from my college days. So, you know, now that they doodle or are distracted on devices, you know, it's hard to get too upset about it. I do have respect for the faculty who are concerned, and I think students are growing to be aware of it. You know, to have your big laptop open up to a video on YouTube and everybody else behind you getting distracted who doesn't want to be, you know, that can be problematic. But the same with the kid when I was a first-year professor who held up the newspaper and started reading it, and the people behind him had to, you know, duck and weave to look around the newspaper to see me.
That's crazy.
So there's always been this tension back and forth.
Now, you said that you have some artwork from your doodles.
Right.
Here's an example. I didn't Google doodle, but I went on Twitter and I used hashtag doodle art. And there's all kinds of doodle art out there.
Right.
So, you know, maybe there's another idea for a tweet. You know, if you're a doodler, why not throw that out in the world and see what goes on behind the scenes in your brain when you're doodling?
That would be amazing.
So, we've talked about everything from superheroes to classroom technology to a lot of different things. But one thing we haven't touched on is the physics of social media.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Because I don't know if you've been challenged with this, but as I'm thinking, you somewhat have an answer for everything. So what about let's talk about the physics of social media. So Twitter, maybe because you're familiar with it, what are some of the movement? And I mean, are there physics within a computer chip, within things that are moving?
So, you know, there's two levels of the physics. One is all the cool physics that goes on in our phone. And one of the great things about our phones, one of the challenges in physics is teaching about both quantum mechanics and relativity. These are, you know, everyone's heard of them. They've heard of quantum mechanics. They've heard of special general relativity. They've heard of Einstein. You know, my kids randomly ask me, what's up with Schrodinger's cat? What is this thing that's dead and alive? And so it's out there, but it's hard to experience in every day. And one cool thing about phones is that everybody who has a smartphone has a GPS. And an interesting thing about, I haven't done it yet, but as I understand with a lot of Twitter and things like this, there are ways to sort of build in the automatic location.
Geotagging, yes.
Yeah. Right? And if you think about it, I mean, it's so funny to try and explain to like my kids, like sitting in the car with an actual physical map. And my daughter's comment was, I couldn't use a map because it doesn't have a "you are here" spot.
Current typing and current location.
Right,
in your
current
map.
Location in your map. But your phone does all of this through communication with satellites and so on, and it relies actually on the fact that relativity is correct, that time actually slows down as you move faster, and time changes rates when you're in a gravitational field. So the time on a satellite is different than the time here on your phone. And if your phone didn't know that and take it into account, your GPS wouldn't work. So every time you use your GPS, you're doing a test of relativity.
Wow.
Which is an amazing thing to experience. And then a lot of the technology in your phone relies heavily on quantum mechanics. And so it's a little counterintuitive. It doesn't necessarily give you an intuition about it, but it's interesting to know that it's going on there.
I think you have a new blog, which is the physics of social media.
We could do that. I actually think the real challenge in social media, the physics of it, is the physics of trying to hold a phone and take a picture of yourself at the same time. I don't know how people do that, but I'm getting better at it.
Okay, Angie, how do we best deal with the physics, the quantum physics of taking a selfie?
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect, okay.
So just like your GPS is testing relativity, every time that you hold the phone and take a selfie, you're testing
you're testing the physics of holding your arm out. So it's mechanics. It's all Newtonian mechanics at that point.
So maybe try left hand, maybe try
right hand.
Okay, here's some other tips. If you are taking a selfie and there's three people, where should you be in the lineup?
I think at one of the ends, right?
Yes. Depends on if you're right-handed or left-handed or what you're comfortable with. Let's see. Another selfie tip, chin down.
Oh, okay.
Okay, girls are good at this. They'll go like that. They'll turn their head down.
Okay, I need to know.
Because you don't want
to
get stuck with the underside, the chin.
Gotcha. Right? Chin down. I did get one of my recent selfies, someone did tweet that I need to work on focus. That it was a little out of focus.
Now, this is a good point, actually, because when it's a selfie, I believe you're doing this self-facing camera, and the actual camera's not as good as your front-facing camera.
I think that's usually true in the phones.
Yeah.
But these days, not as good is a weird thing. I mean, the cameras in our phones are so amazingly good compared to, even just the camera I had as a kid.
Right. And then I remember the old disposables. That was so cool. And
yep.
sitting there, like the 1 hour photo was so cool because you get it in 1 hour.
Oh, I know.
Just go do it, get pizza, and you're like, okay. It's gonna
imagine if you had to wait an hour for your picture.
That's crazy.
Angie's just like, no, I don't get it. I don't believe it. Did you ever develop film?
Yeah, I used to do the disposable and get really excited about it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Times have changed. The physics of our brains have changed.
Yep.
Now,
it's amazing what we expect these days.
Speaking of expectations, I want to talk about the bubbles.
Oh, sure.
Because now, can we tie in bubbles to social media from this some sort of perspective?
Well, one of the things that's fascinating by someone who studies foam. So there's kind of two things you can do. You can study individual bubbles, and you can study collections of bubbles, which are foam. We really in our lab focus on the collection of bubbles. But at my most recent international conference I went to, UFOAM.
Wait a minute. There's an international conference on foam?
There is. So and there's a lot of them. And this is actually a European focused one, but it is international.
So European foam.
Yeah, so UFOAM, EU foam.
Okay.
And one of the speakers, one of the keynote speakers, is an artist. And one of her specialties is taking pictures and photographs and using foam in her artwork.
Okay.
And she kind of talked about the history. And it was fascinating to see, you know, now we document things using social media and fairly quick in real time. But, of course, painting and artwork was the social media of the time throughout history for many moments. And she pointed to all these places where people used foam and bubbles symbolically in their pictures to represent either like just the passage of time and how ephemeral time was because the foams and bubbles pop and go away, or different aspects of what they wanted to communicate. And that was kind of fascinating to me as a physicist to see that other side, the artistic representation that foam had.
So what you're saying is that Snapchat is a whole bunch of small bubbles that are sort of foaming up, and it's like you put the wrong type of detergent in your laundry and it's just like...
And it's going crazy.
It's going crazy. It's bubbling over. And then you have Snapchat, which is more of a traditional stagnant bubbles, big bubbles, because you can only do pictures.
Right.
And then now you have people that are in the laundry room going, okay, we have these big bubbles that now have small bubbles all over them. Then,
I don't like that.
And then they start popping the bubbles. So when someone...
I like that analogy.
So when you're on Instagram and you're trying to pop their bubble by, you know, sabotaging the story to send people to Snapchat, you're essentially popping big bubbles and you're creating a series of small bubbles.
That works for me.
I think that we could probably break down a bubble analysis
for anything.
For anything.
Well, and one of the great things about studying foams and bubbles is people really do kind of relate to it at a different level. It's nice.
Okay, and who would have thought there was a bubble, a red bubble that was going over my head, and I just went and pushed it, and we let people in the door. So that
exactly.
was the flashing lights. Facebook bubbles. Let's talk about that. This is this crazy community. People have never been as interconnected. And it's almost like you have a bubble feed, right? Like you recognize certain things that you like. I like cat photos, or I like cat videos. And maybe there's these different... How many different types of bubbles are there?
So that actually is surprising. There's a fair number, because what matters a lot to their nature is this, like you mentioned, you know, you put some sort of strange soap and everything bubbles over.
Yeah.
The surfactants, the soap we put in it, can really change what happens to the different types of bubbles, how long they last, how big they are, how small they are, what their properties are.
So we could come up essentially with a bubble structure and explain Facebook in terms of bubbles.
We could try.
We could also do it artistically. We might need to get the art school involved.
We could, yeah.
And we could do like a bubble picture of Facebook, a bubble picture of Instagram, a bubble picture, and then it could be like a quiz show to say who is what platform, right?
Yeah.
Angie, are you interested in this bubble art project?
Yes, absolutely. Never heard of it, but...
Well, we
I'm
just
interested.
Created it now. That's why you never heard of it.
Yeah, and I bet you we could make... Like, bubbles could go viral.
We could get them to go viral.
And maybe we create our own... maybe we create bubbles. You know how you get the actual bubbles?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get people to Snapchat bubbles of bubbles. And you get people to Facebook bubbles.
The bubbles. And if you think about it, people already like to put things in circles.
Right.
Right?
They do.
They have their faces in circles. They have things in circles. And bubbles are just basically spheres. And then you get a lot of those circles together and you have a foam.
So foam is multiple bubbles.
Foam is multiple bubbles. And one of the cool things, this is something that I think is we're seeing in social media. Foam has properties that individual bubbles don't. And they have those behaviors because of the collections of the bubbles and how they interact. And if you think about it, the social medias each have their own different properties that arise out of the ways you interact on that social media. So the individual pieces are the same, people.
Right. People, but images.
People, images,
blogs,
words.
Writing,
right.
Text.
But the way they interact determines the overall properties of why Twitter is different than Facebook, is different than Snapchat. And that happens in foam structures as well. You can't necessarily predict ahead of time from the individual bubble how the foam's going to behave. You have to look at how the whole thing is put together.
Now, this is good. This is worth our new segment called Facebook Live 5. So in the last 5 minutes of the show here, we sort of take what was exciting from the show and we Facebook Live it, so that we're going to do it actually off the OVPTL.
Okay.
And what I think is going to be amazing is taking what we just kind of calculated here with the bubbles and talk about, ladies and gentlemen, maybe we can touch on the physics of social media and then the social media bubble theory.
Okay.
And this is your new theory.
It's our new theory.
And what I really liked about what you're saying is, look, I study bubbles and each bubble is its own, you know, individual unit. But what I really liked there was how you said they're all the same. Each platform's dealing with people and pictures and things. Yep. But it's what puts them together that forms this foam. So a Facebook foam looks different than a Twitter foam.
Exactly.
A Twitter, everything pops after 140.
Yep.
You put too much in there and the bubble pops.
Pops.
And then Snapchat, it literally like disappears after 10 seconds.
Yep.
And they know they don't live more than 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I think that. Are we ready with our Facebook Live 5?
Yep.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, Facebook Live is a platform that's a live streaming platform. And if you are not following us on the OVPTL Facebook, you should. That's OVPTL. You can search us. And I just saw Angie do something very particular. Do you see what she just did?
Yes, it looks like she cleaned her lens.
She cleaned the lens. Okay, this is good for your focus thing.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm always out of focus.
Because, your hands are always on your phone and stuff like that. All right, Angie, are you ready?
I'm connecting to Wi-Fi.
Oh, you're connecting to Wi-Fi. Just a second. So, focus on cleaning your phone.
Right.
Selfie from the outside, depending on the hand. Chin down. Smile. And maybe take one or two shots.
Perfect.
Okay, that's a little selfie lesson.
And I may practice later today, so I missed a perfect opportunity yesterday. Because apparently, if you haven't gotten the trading cards of me yet,
oh, yeah, I have one.
You know, what you need to get to an LA Rams, open practice at UCI and collect your trading card.
Right.
But apparently I discovered yesterday, totally by accident, that there are full-size cutouts of me.
Full-size cutouts. So you could get a selfie with yourself.
I can get a selfie with myself. There is one at the Newkirk Alumni Center.
Okay.
So I'm going to go by there this week and get a selfie with me, myself.
That's a selfie inception.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, selfie inside of a selfie.
Selfie.
All right, Angie, are we ready? She's ready. Okay.
And
are we live?
Yep.
Hello, Ryan Fulland here, DJ Ginger MC on KUCI Get Notified. And our special guest today is Dean Michael Denon, who's also the Vice Provost of the Office of Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning.
Good morning.
And we are talking about bubbles and social media. So, Michael Denon has come up with a new theory. It is called the bubble theory of social media, and he wants to explain it. And then just for fun, he's going to get into the physics of social media. Take it away, sir.
Okay, so real quickly.
Wait, it ended.
It ended?
Oh no.
That was it?
The connection wasn't strong.
The connection
Oh, we lost our connection.
Well, that was a good intro. Let's do another one.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? Well, we've got just a couple minutes left, so it might be a 30-second thing. But
yeah.
Maybe what we'll do is right after this, we'll get situated and we'll do an interview. We'll set up in the other one and we'll go from there.
That could work.
So any closing words that you want people to know about the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning or the DUE, what message do you want people to see for your vision? Because you've got a vision. We want to help support it.
I think there's two important things. It's both one for the students, one for the instructors. From the student perspective, the university experience is not one size fits all. And one of the things that DUE offers is a wide range of academic experiences that can completely enrich your experience here as a student and make it more than just going to class. It can be everything from going to Europe and research, study abroad, UCDC doing an internship, working in with student support services, going to the transfer center if you're a transfer student, getting help with writing in the writing center. It's just, it goes on and on and on. And I'm sure the units I didn't mention will yell at me, but that's okay.
You can start a business too.
Right, you can start a business. We have the Entrepreneur Center. And even if you don't want to start a business and you just want to be more entrepreneurial minded, you can go to the Entrepreneur Center. And then from the Division of Teaching and Learning side, it's kind of the same message for faculty. I think we underestimate the different ways there are of successfully teaching. But we also, as faculty, we lack time. Just like students, we lack time. And part of what the Office of Teaching and Learning's job is to help faculty find that 5 minutes, that 10 minutes, that hour to just think a little more and differently about their teaching and say, is this really what I want to be doing, or do I want to do something different? And if so, how do I do it? How do I get help? Where do I go? And then summer session, in a weird way, kind of brings that all together by giving faculty and instructors a place to maybe try something new, do something a little different with their students, and students to kind of catch up, try something new, experience, get ahead, buy some time, and have some fun with what they're doing. So kind of, it's all about exploring, expanding your vision, and having fun and finding your passion around different things.
Well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Expand your mind, have fun. Follow Michael Denon on social media, Twitter at Denon Michael, Facebook Prof Michael Denon. And watch out, because he's going to do a Snapchat hijack soon. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Get Notified. Michael, thanks for having you.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Angie, thanks for joining us and having a nice perspective there.
Thank you.
And for everybody else, we're going to end with a little music. And if you are sticking around, you should. If you were thinking about leaving, stick around, because Ask a Leader with Claudia is coming up. We've got some nice random music for you here. All right, everybody. Go follow what hashtag, Michael?
Hashtag UCIDUE.
All right, we're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.